This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 16 through 21. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. Our gospel reading today is from Luke, 15th chapter, 1 through 3, and then 11b through 32. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked him what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, You killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading.
Thanks be to God.
What goes through your mind when you read one of the parables told by Jesus? Do you mentally sort of put it into King James English and discount it? Because it all happened so very long ago. Do you ever think about the outrageous things Jesus is teaching and the cost of obeying that teaching? We're going to have some fun today. The Revised Common Lectionary offers us the parable of the prodigal son every 3 years. I look forward to it because it parallels my life experience so well. Remember, I spent 25 years in the punishment business, and I've only been 12 years in the redemption business. So let's get to it. In the parable, the father has two sons. One day, the younger son announces that he is no longer interested in working the family farm. He's no longer interested in working at all, come to that, and so demands his inheritance. Surprisingly, dad divides his property and gives the boy his inheritance, something he's not entitled to. The boy then runs off to a distant land where he lives it up big time with the expected result. He goes broke. Worse than that, there's a famine and he has to go to work after all, feeding pigs of all things. Well, so far we've got a pretty judgmental and unsurprising parable. You reap what you sow. He's got no one to blame but himself. If he had done the right thing and stayed with his father working the family farm, this wouldn't have happened. So it's all his fault. That's a story we're familiar with, one we apply down to this very day. Of course, we've read only the first half of the parable. Jesus isn't finished with us. The boy comes to his senses and goes to his father to repent. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Our judgmental parable has taken a distinctly churchy turn. The boy has confessed, taken responsibility for his sins, and repented. The churchy part of the parable is all good news. Forgiveness is readily available. But of course, that's not all there is to this tale, is it? There's still the older son, the one who's been working his butt off the whole time. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Let me suggest that we all take a seat at the prosecution table with me at a sentencing and see if we might gain some insight into what Jesus is telling us. At defense counsel is a young man and a young woman. Together with their counsel, they have previously entered pleas of guilty to 4 counts of possession of controlled substances with intent to distribute. You also know that they have 2 preschool-age children. The range of punishment for each count to which they've pled guilty is 5 to 10 years. Given the number of counts, should the sentences run consecutively, they would be looking at 40 years imprisonment. In the gallery, we have 2 distinct groups of people. One group is made up of those who, like the younger son in the parable, have taken a wrong turn and have come to see their folly. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. The other group in the gallery, made up of the professional religious people of the community, have come to stand judgment. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." They live in a simple world. There are good guys who do the right thing and bad guys who don't, and never the twain shall meet. You are known by the company you keep. If you hang out with the bad guys, you're going to be identified with the bad guys. So we're supposed to shun the bad guys. But Jesus is welcoming them. Here is the first cost of the parable. To follow Jesus' teaching, you're going to have to associate with those rejected by most people. These 2 groups are going to have very different views of how the sentencing that we're about to have should come about. There's an old joke in the legal community about a fellow who was sentenced to 110 years. He said to the judge, "Judge, I don't think I can do that much time." And the judge replied, "Well, son, you must do the best you can." That's the position of the Pharisees and the scribes. In their worldview, it is of first importance that those who break the law be held accountable. That's the whole point of the exercise. But there's another view of accountability, one to which the sinners and tax collectors in the gallery might be sympathetic. The lives of the accused are already rendered valueless. We have to face up to that. Their pleas of guilty have branded them as convicted felons. If we are known by the company we keep, who's going to willingly associate with them, even if they get no jail time? Who's going to hire them? They're already suffering. I know what the people that elected me twice would counsel me about sentencing. Lock them up and throw away the key. That's the only thing drug dealers understand. But if we ask the sinners and tax collectors, I suspect we would get a much different answer. Jesus was offering a message of redemption, and those who have faced their mistakes understand the value of redemption. What would be their counsel to us, you and I, at the prosecution table? Might they not be less interested in making an example of the accused and more interested in finding a way to a redeemed life for them? What would the scribes and the Pharisees think of such a suggestion? Come to that, what do you and I at the prosecution table think of it? Just as the sentencing is about to begin, there's a noise in the gallery. It begins as a soft wail and then builds to a loud, "Mommy!" It is the older of their 2 children, her arms out toward her mother. Her cry is immediately echoed by an inarticulate wail from her mother. "I'm a terrible person," she sobs. "I need help. I want to be with my babies. Help me, Judge, help me." those of us at the prosecution table know what the law says, and we know what the people who elected us expect from us. But we also see the two children, and we hear the anguish and repentance in the mother's tears that those who read of this sentencing in tomorrow's newspaper will never see or hear. These two have brought suffering on our community and upon themselves. Repentance or no, what should be done with them? I'm trying to picture for you just what a radical teaching Jesus is presenting. This is no scholarly exercise. This is no feel-good sermon celebrating the righteousness of the good guys. This is infuriating. This is an affront to the older son who has done the right thing, who stayed with his father and worked. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him." What an achingly human response. From his perspective, father is just rewarding bad conduct and devaluing his hard work and faithful service. Our sympathies are with him, the older son. He's got a right, we feel, to be mad. That's the human way. Jesus brings a different message, that the goal is to redeem sinners and return them to the home of the Father, rather than to destroy them as an example to others. "For my son has been dead, but he is now alive." So, what are we to do with the two at the next table? The people who elected us are going to be watching. Sentencing these two to anything less than a substantial time in jail will be seen by those who read of it in tomorrow's newspaper as weakness by the prosecution. But they haven't heard the child's wail of mommy. And they haven't heard the mother's response. "I'm a terrible person. I need help. You sat beside me and heard it. What is your counsel to me about sentencing? What values drive your decision?" Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." We can't read Jesus' parables as something that happened a long time ago. They have to apply to today. And we've had a good example the past couple of weeks of the importance of taking responsibility for sins. Jussie Smollett seems to have orchestrated a fake hate crime against himself. That's a horrible thing to do. Yet all charges have now been dismissed. I want to believe that he has repented. I do not believe that. He is now claiming he's innocent and painting himself as the victim. He has not taken responsibility for his actions, as did the younger boy in Jesus' parable. Redemption, and this is the one message I want you to take from today's service. Redemption is the fruit of repentance. Redemption is the fruit of repentance. As I've said many times before, our time of confession is when we take ownership of our sins. If you're just reciting the Paternoster on autopilot when we do the Lord's Prayer, I'd rather you just read a magazine. Until we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God's children said,
Amen.